Amen. You know, I want to make just a couple of corrections. We did just have an announcement that said next week we're going back to our normal schedule. It's going to be one more week. Now, we are going to have children, elementary and youth are going to be going back into their classes next week. But we're going to have one joint service next week at 11 o'clock for our Vision Sunday. This week, we take a look back. Next Sunday, we're taking a look forward. So would you touch your neighbor right now and tell them one service next week at 11 o'clock? Matter of fact, let's just do that again so nobody will forget. One service, 11 o'clock. Now, I'm going to pray one more time because also Miss Winnie's son passed away over the holidays. And I want us to pray for her. She has been a source of encouragement to me as a pastor and so faithful. And she's here in attendance today. And I just thought that we would stop, you know, and just pray one more time for her and her family. Let's pray. Father, today we are serving a God that hears us every single time that we pray. And today we pray for a family within our body that when they hurt, we hurt. And so, Father, I ask you to touch Miss Winnie and encourage the remainder of her family that, Father, that even though they are walking through a moment of grief, that they know that heaven awaits. And so, Father, I ask for the comforting power of the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, I've got one more act of business before I actually preach this morning. And we're doing pretty good on time. And, you know, Michelle and I have been honored to serve in Southwest Florida for 15 years as pastors. And our ministry has evolved from beginning at Covenant Community Ministries, in which I followed Pastor Tom Sturbins, and he was one of my mentors, and I really enjoyed walking in the legacy of his footsteps. And then we took this great leap of faith about almost 8 years ago now, and we moved everybody to the high school, and we became Elevation Ministries. And then all of a sudden, 2 years after that, we were able to be invited to this campus, and little did we know that we were going to one day inherit becoming the senior pastors of both congregations of Elevation and Fort Myers, now known as CityGate. And so we have been honored for that position, and Michelle has been, you know, we've called her all kinds of things. First Lady, Michelle. I even got in trouble one time for calling her the mother of the church, you know. Because she's always trying to mother, you know, protect. She's like Mama Bear. She protects Matt and Joe and Alex. And, you know, when I'm wanting to get on them, and she's like, no, you can't do that. That are our boys. So, you know, but before Michelle was First Lady of this campus, we are honored today to have Miss Florence Robinson, which is a former First Lady, that served with her husband, Pastor Brian, for many years, and not only served as the pastor's wife, but then even until just recently, she started a literacy ministry that continued on this campus well past her retirement age. And she is responsible for people having the wonder of reading that wasn't possible to read before being introduced to Miss Florence. So I'm going to ask Michelle if she would come out. We bought her some roses. And Miss Florence, if you will. She still has the title of having the bluest eyes I've ever seen. But this morning, we get an opportunity to talk about 125 years of legacy. It gives us a moment to look backwards and find out where we came from a heritage that we've inherited. That when we look forward, we have to look forward with the responsibilities and guard the heritage and the legacy that has been afforded to us as City Gate. And so I decided this morning to take a text out of Joshua chapter 4, starting at verse 19 through 24. And the Bible reads, and you can read it on the screens if you don't have your Bible in front of you. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" I want to read that last verse one more time, because that's the theme of this message. "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Will you look at your neighbor one more time? And I don't normally do this. It just seems to fit today. Would you tell them, "The hand of the Lord is mighty"? Now let's pray. Father, again, I ask you, as a servant, to be humbled by the authority of your word. I ask for your word to go forth with power. Father, let us look backwards with awe, but let us not be imprisoned by our yesterday. Father, we cannot live in yesterday's glory. We cannot warm ourselves by a fire that once has been in years gone by. But we have a God that was capable of igniting the fires of revival 125 years ago. And he has the authority and the power to ignite the fire today. So, Father, I ask you to give me wisdom in this message. Allow me to speak with honor towards those that have walked before. Let me speak with the authority and the anointing to encourage and excite those that are going to run the race that is yet before us. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. See, what you've read here kind of at the end of the chapter is that God told Joshua that it was time to go over into a new season. And we kind of know the story from our Sunday school classes that they had gotten to this place 40 years before, and because of fear, they had allowed the intimidation of a promised land to be delayed for now over 40 years. A generation had passed, and now this new generation, led by two old gentlemen, Joshua and Caleb, now well into their 80s, was now inspiring another generation to go into the promised land and possess what God had promised. Matter of fact, one of these 80-year-old gentlemen had not only been encouraged by the faith of this new generation, but they were one that was, he thought that God was capable of still using him. And by the time he gets over to the promised land, he is asking for the land of the giants. He said, "I want to lead the team that is going to go and defeat the giants that were reported 40 years ago. I thought we could do it then, and I think we could do it now." And he led a group of younger men, and as they went to that area and conquered the land of the giants. But in the midst of them traveling, God directs them and says, "It's time to go, and it's time to go right now." And so they didn't get the opportunity like they did 40 years earlier for watching the Red Sea part before they ever got there. Matter of fact, the Bible declares that the Jordan River was flooded. And yet the priest with the Ark of the Covenant kept walking towards a flooded river. And you know what? It did not move. And they kept walking with a faith to believe that God would either create a way for them to walk underneath the water, through the water, over the water. All they knew is that God told them to go. And they kept walking, and the people of Israel kept following. And then when the ankles of the priests entered into the Jordan River, and the faith ignited a miracle that took place where the waters began to divide. And as the priest stood in the middle of the river for all of the congregation of Israel to pass by on dry ground, God speaks to Joshua and tells them, I want you to walk around where those priests are standing and get 12 rocks that you can remember this moment by. And I want you to carry them out of the Jordan River, and I want you to erect a memorial to declare the goodness and the power and the authority of your God. And that he is not weak and he is not slack concerning his promises, but he is a God that is faithful to endure even during the process of the wilderness to refine and prepare his people for the promise. And they grab rocks just like these and they put them on the first place in which they camped. And they put them there for a purpose. And one of the congregation asked Joshua, he says, why would you get rocks out of the Jordan River? And he declares, God told me to do that. And he said, they said, well, what is the purpose? And it kind of goes something like this. When all of the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge. Because what they were intended to do is they were intended to stir the curiosity of the children and the generations that were going to come, and that they were going to ask a question, what are those rocks? And that takes us to our text. It takes us to the place where those rocks meant that the hand of God was mighty. And it reminded them, Joshua could tell the generations that were going to proceed into the promise. He was going to tell them, it was rocks for you to remember where you came from. Don't ever get prideful, even though you're called by God, the chosen people of God. Remember, you once were a slave in Egypt, and you couldn't have ever got out after 400 years of bondage. But the hand of God was mighty, and remembered the prayers and the promises to your forefathers, and directed a Moses to come and deliver his people. And you didn't get here easy. You walked through a wilderness where bread fell from heaven. You watched as rocks produced water. I want you to know your heritage. There was mountains that caught on fire. There were tablets that the finger of God wrote on, the commandments. You actually got to be witness to the Shekinah glory of God inhabiting the tabernacle of God. You didn't get here overnight. There was somebody that paid a price. There was somebody that walked through the wilderness. There was somebody that walked up on a mountain. You didn't get here easy. You had enemies that tried to destroy you, but yet the hand of God was with you. See, it's important, City Gate, not for us to rush into our future without remembering our past. We didn't get here easy. And sometimes we only get the story from one version. Whether you come from the First Baptist side or you come from the Elevation side, sometimes your edited version may not be as accurate as you think we are. But these stones will remind us today of where we come from. And I want to direct your attention to these screens for the next 3 or 4 minutes as Al Frierson gives us some details to our heritage. Isn't it amazing how God has a sense of humor? That for years we've debated where, theologically, where ladies fit in ministry, and yet this church was established because a lady donated land. Doesn't that show you the importance of how God chooses to anoint each and every individual, not based upon gender or race, but who is available and obedient enough to believe that God could take 9 people and yet have such a commitment to generously donate land that they probably could have passed on to their family or their family's family and probably would have acquired some wealth out of it. But they said, you know what? I believe in those 9 people. I believe that there's something happening over there. I believe that God's going to start a fire of revival that's going to transform people's lives. And I would rather put my things in the hands of God than keep them in my own hands. And I believe God is going to do something supernatural. Can you imagine? What do you think they prayed for? What do you think those nine people got together and started praying for and about? You. They were praying about the people that would follow after them, that would believe in a God, that would take the context of the Bible and not bend the Bible to fit them, but actually bend their lives to fit the Bible and live by the truth of God's word and believe that the blood of Jesus shed on a cross of Calvary and then resurrected from the dead 3 days later, now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, could have enough saving grace to save the world. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Just like the children of Israel, reminded by the rocks, the stones set at Gilgal of their forefathers that had passed before them. Can you imagine the stories of the price that was paid as they remembered the stories of this great leader named Moses? How he sacrificed, how God gave him an opportunity to live in comfort and to actually go over and possess the promised land, but he wouldn't go with them. Because he said, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. I'd rather die in the wilderness and prepare the way for the next generation. That knowing that when their foot steps on the promised land, they're going to have a faith in a God that is with them to possess the promises. I don't want to go with an angel. And matter of fact, I would rather stay here than go without you, God. Can you imagine the prayers of those nine people that turned into 18 people, that turned into 25 people, that turned into hundreds of people, that now in the 50s, in the heyday of the church, nearly was pushing between 800 and 1,000 people on a Sunday morning. Can you imagine the kids that were running around talking about Israel? How did we get here, Daddy? How did we get to this spot? All I've ever known is the wilderness, and you keep telling me there's a promise. And he would tell them stories about the time that Moses would go up on a mountain and fire would surround the mountain and the voice of God would be heard like thunder, and that Moses, this prophet, this leader, would come down with stone tablets with commandments that we would live by. God would give us the direction for the tabernacle. I remember a time when Moses was, when we were fighting a battle where the enemy was trying to destroy us, and we learned that Moses had a stick, and that when he held it up, we won. And when his arms got tired and he dropped the stick, we started to lose. And you know what? We noticed it. And there was a man named Hur and Aaron that saw that Moses' strength was fading, and they went and they held his arms up. Do you know how many people have held the arms up that we don't even know for us to have the victories that we experience today? To have the resources, and we don't even know their names, and we never got to meet them, but their blood, sweat, and tears paved the way for us to have a heritage. See, there was a price to pay, and there's been some misunderstandings. And we're about to watch one more video for 3 or 4 minutes. But before we watch this video, let me clarify something that years ago I said in error, because I had a misunderstanding of the call that was on our lives. See, when I first got here as pastor of Elevation Ministries, I was deceived in believing that God took us on this journey to rescue Fort Myers First Baptist. Let me tell you something. They didn't need rescuing. And I'm going to explain why. See, they could have moved in comfort. And I'm going to let Al talk about the price that they paid to stay here and how many times they had the opportunity to move. But yet they stayed committed because they felt. See, we weren't sent on a mission. Our mission entailed us connecting with Fort Myers First Baptist, but we weren't here to rescue them. We were here to inherit a legacy because they had no one to leave it to. So we weren't here to rescue. We were here to inherit. So let's watch the video as Al explains how many times that they could have left.
In the early 1990s.
See, God didn't send us as Elevation to rescue First Baptist. He sent us on a mission to inherit a legacy. See, they could have time and time again abandoned the vision for the downtown community, but they didn't. See, they had to resist the temptation for comfort. And sometimes we don't give our first servicers enough credit for the flexibility in which they have provided for us here on the campus. They traded $5 million for you. Amen. They could have sold the property. They could have inherited $5 million. They could have built a little facility. And you know what? They could have continued having service in their level of comfort for the rest of their lives. They never would have run out of money. But they would have run out of a legacy. Because first servicers, I want you to know you could have had your comfort, but it would have come with a price. And I know sometimes during the logistical challenges of our years together, you had to change your name. You had to change your service times. You had to be so flexible now to have a full campus. But what had happened in years prior that you decided would never happen again here on this campus is you would never make a decision that would curtail your future when it come to the next generation. See, your children and grandchildren had moved to the churches in the suburbs, but you remained. And even though you had hundreds of people, you were only one generation deep. And so as the numbers started to decline, the inevitable would have taken place. You would have had money in the bank. You would have had your organ sounding every single Sunday. You would have had your hymns sung just the way you wanted them. But at the end of time, when your last person or the last group would have said, "We can't do this anymore," you would have faded into the fabric of Fort Myers as a memory. That's something to take hold of. You would have been remembered. And I'm not casting a stone, I'm just telling the truth. If you would have sold this building, the same thing that happened across the street would have happened here. This was more valuable in the land and not as a church. They would have taken bulldozers and they would have bulldozed the buildings and they would have made a condo or a parking lot or something else. And it would have benefited downtown, but it wouldn't have saved somebody's soul. So first servicers, you could have had your comfort, but you said not on your life. I would rather sow into the inheritance of the next generation. And we will become flexible. And we will bend, but we will not break. Because you're going to go places we've never got the opportunity to go. You're going to send buses into our community and bring back kids out of communities that have more statistical probability of going to jail than college. And we're going to change that community because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your inheritance, your investment has not gone in vain. No, we don't use the pipe organ every Sunday anymore. And no, we don't sing the hymns the way that we once did. But when you're gone to heaven, if the Lord should tarry and I am gone, there is men and women that are going to preach the gospel from 2nd and Jackson Street, and they are going to preach it with such effectiveness and fervency that it's going to change the world. And what they are going to say when we are on our final chapters, I hope that somebody like a Alex or an Amy or a David or a Joshua or some of these others, a Matt or a Clinton, will look at those stones. Maybe they'll be up in the baptistry closet, but maybe one day that they'll pick those rocks up and they'll say, "I remember when that old guy with the beard preached that message on our 125th anniversary, and his message was, 'The hand of God is mine.'" And he can do anything. And if he can dry up the Red Sea and dry up the Jordan River, he can do what we need him to do right now. I want them to believe that they can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. I want them to know that there's nobody out of our reach, that there's nobody in circumstances of social status that cannot be reached with the gospel. I want them to know that there's not a person that's too far away. And I want them to remember that we started laundry on Tuesday and didn't finish it till Wednesday. I want one day that when they have another opportunity to sell this facility for millions of dollars, that somebody goes and picks up a rock and says, not today. There needs to be a church at 2nd and Jackson Street declaring the gospel of God. Can somebody say amen? I want you to do something for me. Amy's going to sing. We're going to pray after she sings. But I want you to stand to your feet as she sings. And I want you to go find somebody from First Service. And I want you to say thank you for your investment. I want you to tell them you're going to guard your heritage and your legacy. You're not going to be bound by the prison of yesterday's experience. But you're going to honor where we come from. And you'll always remember the stones. And remember that God's arm is mighty. And will always do miracles. So stand to your feet. First Servicers, when they bring the kids are here. The kids are inside. So maybe when you get an opportunity to see into the face of an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, I want you to look and say, you know what? It was worth us bending a little bit. It was worth us not being comfortable for a moment, because the heritage is going to last forever. So as she sings, I want you to go say thank you. Picture during service. It says, I love God and Jesus, Moses and his disciples. And he drew them. And Caden's going to help me pray. How old are you, Caden? 8. When it gets uncomfortable, I want you to remember an 8-year-old praying for you. Because that's the legacy that you now have. Okay, and I know this may be a little rough, but will you stretch your hand out towards those people? And let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I and Caden are praying for this congregation to never forget where they come from and always remember to protect our legacy, but live in our today. I want us to reach the world with the power of the gospel. And we believe that miracles are possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Caden. Caden, can I keep your picture? I'm going to put this in my office. It feels good, doesn't it? We're going to have 125 more should the Lord tarry. God bless you. Fellowship. Hug somebody's neck before you leave. And enjoy the presence of the Lord. Next Sunday, Vision Sunday. God bless you. Have a great, happy New Year.